Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Throw a step blocked by Jaylen Brown.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics
Show. Over
the shoulder,
pass for Al Horford with a two-hand slam.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus Smart will dribble out the clock. It hits triple zeros. And on his 24th birthday, Jason Tatum drops 37 on Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Boston Celtics have now won 13 of 15 and are just two games out of second in the East. The final score, Boston 120, Memphis 107.
I mean, it was a lot of fun. The place was electric tonight. And I think it was just kind of one of those moments, you know, two guys just going at it. And, doing what they can to try to will their team to a victory. And it just so happened that it was kind of a, you know, back and forth thing consecutively. Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those moments, things like that.
Jason Tatum, after the 120-107 win over the Memphis Grizzlies, a few nights back now at TD Garden. Welcome to the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper. We have Brian Robb of Mass Live covering the Celtics there, and you at 617-779-0985 at the third Thought Thursday night's game. Mostly lived up to the hype, Chris. We didn't really get the the true duel that I think most people wanted between Ja Morant and Jason Tatum, just because Morant sucked early. But
yep. 1-for-10 start.
Brutal. Yeah, but we ended up all right. But it was a solid team win for the Celtics. Really good night for Al Horford. Throwback night for Al Horford, really. And you know, that's a game that after that, I'm like, all right, okay. You know, my perspective is completely done a 180. You well know as we do this show just a couple of months back, I was referring to it as the contractual obligation. Anytime we would start the email chains on Felger and Maz in the morning, like, all right, we're going to do some Celtics minutes. Like, oh, jeez. Like, got to dig deep and earn the money there because I just found them unwatchable, unlikable. Excuse me.
Yeah, we're both struggling today. Playing hurt today.
So dry.
So dry in here.
Why?
I don't know.
Excuse me.
We spent too much time in the warm weather climates. Our bodies have not acclimated back to being here.
It really is. It's like a bodily revolt.
Yeah, it's seriously.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. We're struggling. Playing hurt today.
Right. Well, I believe. Here's my thesis on the Celtics. I've done the 180. And if you want to call me a sucker, Chris, and I feel like you want to because yesterday, for anyone that missed your appearance on Felger and Maz, I feel like you're not taking the cheese here. And in fact, you feel like this Celtics team and the run that they've been on here for the better part of a month and a half is a bit of fool's gold, and it reminds you of that 7-game winning streak of the New England Patriots this past season.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does remind me of the 7-game winning streak. You know, I'd say, I don't want to say it's fool's gold. I don't feel it's fool's gold. I only feel it's fool's gold unless you think it signifies the Celtics can lift Banner 18, right? I think what it signifies is the team's playing better. They have a lot of the right pieces. It's encouraging both for the short term and the long term. But for me, it doesn't move the needle from saying, okay, this is not a team that can win 3 or 4 playoff series. You have to win a minimum of 3 to get to the finals. You have to win 4 to lift a banner. It doesn't move that needle for me from feeling like this is a team that can't do that to this is a team that can do that. And ultimately, that's sort of how I'm judging it. And I also look at it and say this. I think that with the Celtics, and this span has been tremendous, you know, winning, 13 to 15 to 20 the last 26. But I also sort of look at it and say, okay, so you want me to just count the last 26 games. You don't want me to count any of the games before that. Like, you don't want me to, why should the 20-6 span outweigh the 25-25 start?
No, it shouldn't. And look, the bigger picture here is that it's 2 years. So if you want to look at them with a side eye and say, look, they get some pushback. They lose a couple of these games. Maybe Brooklyn comes in here and they kick their ass. And they start going the other way, you can rightfully stand there and say, see, this is why I didn't really believe. I don't blame you. I just feel like because it looks so different, that Marcus Smart's playing the best basketball of his career,
absolutely,
that you're now getting deferrals from in facilitation from Jason Tatum at these end of games where usually it's like, nope, this is my time, ISO ball, I'm going to chuck it up. Like the Atlanta win earlier in the week,
yeah,
I thought was a really good example of that when you have him kicking a Grant Williams hitting those threes late. And it's like, oh, okay, all right. Like when that game got a little bit tight, it didn't go the way that I thought it could have or the way it has gone in the past. And look, there's been blips, that ugly Detroit loss before the All-Star break. So I get it. Like, I'm not going to push back that hard on you. And really, my belief isn't that they can win the title this year. I don't think that's delusional, but I don't feel that strongly about them. But I do think that, look, if they are going to play like this, and you have high-end talent, and it looks like Tatum is now, the way he's played lately, looks like okay. Now
yeah, he's back to Tatum. This happens every year. January, February, he goes back to Tatum. He gets these slow. This has happened like 3 years in a row.
But maybe, look, he's finally clicked, and he's matured, and Udoka's getting through to him, whatever it happens to be. If this can stay consistent the way that they have played, and they can stay healthy, obviously a big ask there, considering, you know, you have Brown with the ankle injury, and it just feels like, you know, there's always the injury bug with this team.
Twisted an ankle as well.
They could maybe come out of the East, maybe. Like, that's all. Like, I'm just going to enjoy the ride. That's my thing. I've gone from, like, ugh, with the Celtics to, hey, you know what? This is fun.
Sure.
It's a good product to watch right now. I'm just going to enjoy the ride. That's all.
I mean, look, you know, I think maybe yesterday I had a little bit of a tonality issue, just sort of, you know.
That happens with all of us.
I'm sick as a dog. I'm talking to Maz, so I'm already agitated. So between those two things, you know, I was highly irritable, and maybe I didn't fully articulate what I was saying the way I should have. I enjoy watching the Celtics. I enjoy these games. I think they're on the right track. What annoys me, though, is that it's like all of a sudden now people want me to behave like they're a bona fide championship contender. And the other thing that I will state, like, very clearly is that for me, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, while it would be an achievement, is not really progress because they've been there before. So, and let me use a simile here, right? It's like you get to a certain point on a mountain and you slip and you fall and you tumble and then you climb back to that point. Did you advance past the point you were at before?
No, you didn't.
No. And that's what's happened with the Celtics. They backslid, which was bad, and now they've regained that ground, which is good, but people are acting like they've somehow advanced to this new point beyond where this core has been. If they go to the Eastern Conference Finals again and don't win, like, that tells you sort of, okay, this is what our core can do. They can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they can't get over the hump. And then you have to make – and when I say core, really, I mean smart. Because the other two guys, I've told you, I've been on record, I've said it for a while, I'm not breaking them up. So it really becomes like Smart as the third best player. I need to somehow find a way to either add another guy while keeping Smart, which bumps him down in the hierarchy of my roster, or I need to potentially move him. And where I get annoyed is I feel like the fan base and the organization itself is really, really resistant to breaking up the idea of Smart being the third guy behind Tatum and Brown. Like, they still think that can grow to be a championship team. And I don't. And I could be proven wrong. That's fine. But I just think that there's a lot of evidence that the ceiling on this particular core is making it to the Eastern Conference. Like, that's the ceiling.
Yeah. And look, I get what you mean. The perspective has changed so much because of how bad this was early
Correct.
On. And so now for them to even get there, it's like, oh, no, they've overachieved. No, you're right. Because bigger picture is like, hey, guys, they've done it before.
Yes. You know, they're back where they should be, which is awesome. Like, that is progress. Like, I'm happy about that. But I'm not going to pretend it's somehow advancing.
It's a massive achievement.
Yeah, it's a massive achievement that advances them beyond where they've been before and puts them on a path to get to do something they haven't been able to do before. Like, I haven't seen that yet.
B-Rob, you're covering the team. You're there. Well, virtually there still.
Yeah,
right
about
back in
Nick
the building,
Stauskas
right?
and Sam Hauser. You're all over the buyout market. You popped my bubble this week when you basically told me Gary Harris was not going to get a buyout. Yeah, you're all over it, B-Rob.
So has your expectation changed? You know, give me your read on the Celtics.
I got to fight Gasper a little bit on this.
Go ahead.
His take here.
Bring it.
I want to go three things.
Okay.
In terms of what's changed.
Yes.
One, health. Like they weren't healthy during that time. And I know. Number two, adjusting the Ime Udoka system. I do think you have to, you know, there has been adjustments there by Ime and the players where you'd think, okay, I'm going to weigh the last 25 games a little bit more than the first 25 games.
Okay.
And then the last thing, the East, like getting to the East Finals, the East is so much better this year than it was a couple years ago, or, you know, the year they got to Game 7 against the Cavs. I do think you have to give them a little bit more credit on that front. Like, it is much more of a gauntlet to get to the East Finals this year, I think, than it would have been even down in the bubble.
So that was my question. Like, how do you feel about down in the bubble? Because, I mean, they beat some good teams. I mean, the bubble was good. You had Milwaukee, Miami, You know, Philly, they beat a good Toronto team.
They got a layup, though, because Philly had Ben Simmons was out.
Yes.
And then Toronto, that was
Philly
a...
Philly quit in that.
Yeah, Philly quit, exactly. So that was like a walkover. And then, yeah, Toronto, they were good, but they were, I think they were clearly the worst out of the final four teams there in the East. Like, that was still a favorable draw for the Celtics. And then we always saw what happened against the Heat, obviously. They didn't have it there. So, I mean, in terms of, like, comparing the two teams, I mean, it doesn't matter. I agree with you. If they go out in the first round here, nothing matters. Like, everything's on the table this year. But if they get to the East Finals and beat, say, the Bucks or the Sixers to get there, then I say that they're further along than they were even like a couple years ago there.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I guess I would just say, so when I look at those teams, so they, you know, the Bucks, that would be the first round matchup, right? So if you beat them, you know, obviously that's a big deal. I think that's a tough matchup for them. If you beat the defending NBA champions, that's a big deal. But then I look at some of the other teams in the conference, the Nets and the Sixers. So you say to me, we beat one of those teams, it's a really big deal. We've advanced. We're on the right path. But then I think you're also sort of built into that, or baking into that, you're sort of implying that those teams aren't going to get better. That, like, it won't be better the longer James Harden is in Philly. That Tyrese Maxey won't get better. That Ben Simmons won't improve. That there won't be more chemistry with Durant and Kyrie and Ben Simmons. That Cam Thomas won't get better for the Nets. Like, it's not like the Celtics, it's not like every other team is static and the Celtics just advance by beating these teams.
So no, that's a really good point, though, because it is the window is there right now because of all, like, none of these teams have been put together outside of, say, the Heat. Like, there's no continuity there of any of these other rosters. So the Celtics should be able to take advantage of that with the right draw here.
Yes.
They're the one team recently that I'm like, like, you know that they can out-tough you. They've already proven that. They're now getting healthy. They're getting Oladipo back early next week.
That should be interesting. I wonder if that's a plus or a minus.
Yeah, I think it's a minus.
Yeah.
They're going to shoehorn him into the rotation.
Yeah.
He's never been able to shoot. That's going to be weird, I think.
But they just beat the bag out of Brooklyn with Durant's return. That team, I still look at them like,
And in that game, Jim, when they beat the bag out of Brooklyn, Miami didn't have Lowry or Butler on the
right.
floor. It's like, you look at what the Heat are doing without getting healthy. I think they could be the sneaky scariest team out there right now.
Before we, you know, take the break here, let me just boil down my point. It's again, I like what I'm seeing from the Celtics. It's not a negative. It is progress. I guess what I'm saying for me is that I need to see it in the playoffs. Like, you're not going to convince me, because I think playoff basketball is different. They're the best defensive team, but all these other teams are going to put their best defensive foot forward as well. They won't be as good as the Celtics, but that gap to me should narrow. I think building a team, and I believe this in every sport, you have to build two teams. There's a team that gets to the playoffs, and within that team, there's a team that can win in the playoffs. And so I can't look at regular season success for this particular group, for me, and ascribe that and immediately say, that makes me believe they can win 2, 3, 4 playoff series, you know, best of seven. That's just not the way I feel.
What do you guys make of that? How the script has been flipped. All of a sudden, Gasper's the one, unimpressed, arms crossed, back against the wall, stubborn, pissed, saying, I don't know, show me in the playoffs. And I'm the good one. I believe.
Yeah, you're all aboard the seas train.
All aboard. Yeah, right. Toot, toot, all aboard the seas train. That's right. Now, if nothing else, I'm just going to enjoy the ride for now. That's all.
Yeah, you're all aboard the seas train, and I am the surly MBTA conductor.
No, you're
at the commuter rail.
You're on the other C train. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the hot Celtics coming up next. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics
Show. Three, got it.
With Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now Rob Williams taps it in the air, and Al Horford has his 15th rebound of the night. Horford up the middle of the floor.
Go!
For Tatum and a two-hand slam. Happy birthday.
Happy. Somebody blow out the birthday cake, man. Blow them candles out.
Under on the bounce, Pritchard in safe to Tatum. Tatum attacks the left side. Great ball fake on Stephen Adams. Steps to his left. There was nobody there, and he lays it in. This has just been a old school lunch pail night for Jason Tatum. Tatum creeps in past the free throw line. Now a step back, money. Go Tatum. It's your birthday. 5-5 for Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart behind the screen, behind the back bounce pass. Finds Tatum, left side, three in the air. Good night, everybody. Drive home safely.
Birthday. Go, Shorty. It's your birthday.
The 24-year-old drops 35 on his birthday, and the Celtics are going to beat the Grizzlies tonight.
Grandy and Max doing their best 50 Cent impersonations.
Somehow I felt like Max's was slightly better.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Go, Tatum. It's your birthday. Celtics beat up on the Memphis Grizzlies Thursday night at the Garden. They're now 38-27 on the season, sitting fifth in the Eastern Conference. Next game tomorrow afternoon, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving come to town to with the Brooklyn Nets. Garden should be hopping tomorrow with a 1 o'clock tip, which you can catch here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Why so early? Oh, duh. I just read a national game. That's why.
Yeah. It's on ABC. Yep, national game. Should be interesting. Should be a good game. I'm curious, you know, everybody's just kind of assuming that the Nets are going to get their act together.
I don't believe that. I'm one of those people, Chris. I think it's been too wonky of a season. I don't trust that Kevin Durant's going to stay healthy. The Kyrie Irving thing, well, it might be solved because Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York City, sounds like he's going to drop the vaccine requirement. Sounds like he's going to be able to play home games. It's just been, it hasn't been able to mesh. And I know there hasn't been much of Ben Simmons there yet. Like, look, they would be a formidable matchup if the Celtics ended up having to play them in the first round, but they just, it's just one of those things. You can watch them, even if you just happen to watch a game or two on a national night, like this game the other night against the Heat, like they can't get their crap together.
They can't. No, and it's not flowing. You know, a lot of their bench guys have sort of gotten exposed in starter roles. Blake Griffin's been terrible. Some of their role player guys just look really old and unathletic. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if they can sort of get their act together, whatever happens with Kyrie there. Like you said, the mayor of New York, you know, they dropped the requirement, but then somehow it still didn't apply to Kyrie because of private businesses, and the mayor's spoken there about it sends the wrong message if they make an exception for Kyrie. So I don't know how that whole thing's going to go down. And Ben Simmons hasn't played any basketball this year. How long will it take him to get up to speed? Is it fair to ask him to just jump in? And also, I think he kind of has like playoff PTSD from what happened last year in
How
Philly.
Can he not?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Joe and Lincoln first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show this afternoon. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Chris, there's so many ways I disagree with you. I've lost track. The one thing I do agree with you, if they collapse in the playoffs, it's all for naught. And Jason Tatum is the one I worry about the most. Forget the ISO Jason when things get tough. But let me tell you, the difference between, you know, having a winning streak later in the year, it's like the Patriots. December is what counts. Going into the playoffs, they've been fumbling their way. But look at the development of individual players. Would you have ever believed that Grant Williams would become the guy he is?
Yeah, I agree. That's a real positive on the season. I totally agree with you. That and Tatum and Brown committing to each other and them accepting Ime,
right.
I think those are all the biggest positives on the season, and I put them ahead of this 20-6 stretch. Yes, I agree on those things.
And what I also want to say is that I, as a sports fan, you know, old sports fan, I want to watch a team that I want to watch. It's not just about championships. And I love seeing homegrown talent develop. I loved it with the Red Sox a few years ago. And the Patriots need more of that, obviously. Yeah. And so I love watching this team. I see every player getting better. And it must, some of them must be, Ime, but because something's going right at the right time of the season. Don't forget that.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I guess for me, I look at it and say, you know, are we still in sort of the developmental stage of the Celtics where you're like, oh, okay, you know, we're still developing. It's like, doesn't it feel like, I know guys have been in and out of here, whether it's Kemba, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie, but we've been at a point maybe since like what, 2016, 2017, where you're like, they should be a contender.
Yeah.
Like it's been a while now. I'm just going to say this, like people, the Celtics hang banners for one thing and one thing only.
Championships.
Embedded in the DNA of the franchise. Look, does that mean you can't enjoy your team on a nightly basis? No. But it also was kind of like disingenuous to shout me down for, you know, pointing out that I'm evaluating the team through the prism of banners. Because that's historically how they've evaluated themselves. Oh, by the way, I'll point out that Wick was on NBC Sports Boston. He was on the broadcast the other night, and he spoke about, you know, the team. And obviously he put it in, you know, different terms than sort of the way I'm talking about it. But he talked about, you know, wanting to get a ring. And he said, like, that might not happen in the short term. And I'm paraphrasing, but it's still the goal in the long term. So, I mean, that's what's coming from ownership at this point. And let me just rebut one more of his points. Was he saying that the teams that play the best before the playoffs are the teams suited to win the best when the 2010 Celtics finished the season 27-27 and then went on their run in the playoffs? I doubt it.
Good point. Dean in Shrewsbury on Rob Williams and what a factor he's been. Go ahead, Dean.
Hey, you guys say that Marcus Smart is the third player. I don't think that's true at all. I think it's Robert Williams. And the best three-man lineups in the NBA with 500 or more minutes, Robert Williams, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown are number one in net rating at 18.9. And number two in net rating at 16.9 is Al Horford, Jason Tatum, and Robert Williams. Dime Lord's really doing everything out there. Second in offensive rebounds. If he qualified, he'd be number one in field goal percentage. He even hit a mid-range jump shot the other night. He's probably going to get defensive player of the year votes. I think this guy is our third piece, and I think that brings our ceiling much higher.
He's been a factor for them. There's no doubt about that.
Good point by Dean.
And he's, you know, he's advanced his, I don't know, his bag of tricks more than I thought. You know, when he first came into the league, it's like, well, he can dunk and give you some decent defense around the rim, and that's about it. Good passer,
too. He's a fantastic passer, especially for his size.
617-779-0985. More of your thoughts of the Celtics. You buying in like your boy here? Huh? You know, all aboard the Seas Train? Or again, you got arms crossed like Gasper over here, like,
All aboard the other Seas Train?
Yeah. I don't believe. No, I need to wait till the playoffs. 617-779-0985. We'll also touch on how Marcus Smart has been playing as of late and whether or not Chris believes that will continue.
All aboard the Sea Train over here.
We'll get to more of that next with your phone calls here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. 98.5 is Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show on the home of the Seas. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's time to talk Celtics.
Man, hotter than fish grease now.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Or how different is it with Ime now from game one?
No, definitely. You know, you got to give the credit. I mean, you know, he does a great job of staying with us. You know, it would have been easy for him to kind of go and be like, what the hell is going on with this group? But, you know, he continued to stay positive for us, encourage us, stay on top of us, hold us accountable. And it's starting to show. And, you know, rightfully so, he deserves that. And we're very proud of him. And, you know, we're going to continue to go out there and play the way that, you know, that he wants us to for him. You know, the results are there. And like I said, we're just very proud of him.
Whether or not he meant to be, that's so condescending. That's Marcus Smart. Proud of head coach Ime Udoka. It's just so proud of you. the reigning Eastern Conference Coach of the Month. Wake up. He's the coach of the month.
I like that.
Sports Hub Celtics.
Pretty good.
Show.
I hope Grandy and Max use that one.
Use that one, yeah.
Grandy and Max, if you guys are listening, do the wake up Coach of the Month thing with, why am I drawing a blank on the,
from Cleveland.
Yeah, from Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah,
give me some Bone Thugs and Harmony karaoke. With Wake Up, it's the Coach of the Month. I love that. That's good.
I'm going to beat everybody. So here's where I think Ime Udoka, even though it was a condescending comment there by Marcus Smart, where he deserves some credit, I think he's like helped reach Marcus Smart, and this is why he's playing some of the best basketball of his career. Ainge, Stevens, they treated him like he is, well, the whole franchise has really is, like he's on the same level of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think Ime Udoka helped shut that down almost since day one when he got here. And the team, too. I think he's handling them not with kid gloves. Again, you know, we got punked out there after they lose the first game of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that, along with what I think was, not that I have information here, but I do think it was a very real threat that they were going to trade his ass, has helped change Marcus Smart in the way that he's played.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's playing great basketball. I don't deny that. And I think that there's just sort of multiple ways of looking at it. And look, if they prove me wrong in the playoffs, like, I'll own up to it. I'll admit I'm wrong. But I think if you're saying, like, you know, okay, what they have now is enough to get past everybody in the East and make it to the finals and get past that place they haven't gotten past before, you know, I think that's really based more on faith than it is based on really concrete evidence, right? And so to me, if it turns out I'm right and there's sort of a ceiling involved with having your three best players, or if you want to say Robert Williams is going to pass Smart, so if you want to say, you know, he's three and Smart's 3A, whatever it is, if there's a ceiling involved there with Smart, where I get frustrated is sort of just, I feel like there's this obstinance from the fan base and the organization to moving on from this guy.
They shouldn't be afraid of that this offseason.
And I'm not saying give him away.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think he's playing the best basketball of his career. He could bring something really meaningful and potentially help. Like for example, they obviously need more shooting, right?
Yep.
So what if he can bring you back more shooting? What if he could, and I'm just throwing stuff out there, I don't know that he could do this, but what if, I've always thought Smart would be a great fit in Atlanta next to Trae Young. Because, you know, your Hawks need some more toughness and grit. You deserve that after the other C-Train comment. More grit, and he'd be great there, allowing Trae Young to play a little more off the ball. What if you could get back John Collins or somebody like that who's a stretch four with more shooting? Again, I don't know that you could do that, but I'm just saying.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, hypothetically
sure,
speaking, you're changing the mix. Like, would you be so against that because Marcus Smart is your binky? Like, I don't get that.
No, because again, like, I always thought he was overrated. Fine role player, nothing more. You people overrate him, franchise overrates him. And now, as you mentioned yesterday, and correctly so, they have the redundancy with Derek White. So, you know, you can move on from him this offseason, but it does. I feel like there would be trepidation on behalf of the organization to do that. So
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I just can't. You know, and look, if you get past that point, and I'm wrong, then you don't have to move him at all. But I'm just saying, in trying to explore every avenue and opportunity to ultimately get to Banner 18, it just seems like certain things that should be on the table, like at least considering deals for Smart, are not on the table. And I found that quote from Wick the other night. When he was on NBC Sports Boston, he said, I want to get another ring. It may not be this year, so don't do anything short term. Do the long term and do it right, and let's get that banner. And I'm sort of in that camp where I'm looking at the long term of this team, and I like their arc. I think they're on a good path, and they've improved themselves at the trade deadline. I think Brad's given himself some real options here to maneuver this roster to get it to a point where they can really compete for a championship. I just don't think they're there yet with this current iteration of the team. And obviously I'm in the minority in that because I think a lot of people do feel, including yourself, that they are there.
And to your point on that, Chris, with Smart especially, you look at batting down to the bubble and the fact, you know, he won them a game against Toronto with his 3-point shooting in that series, that second round series, but then ended up his shot selection for that Miami series was like terrible. So if you see, like, you take the bait now in terms of how good it looks in the regular season, but the final litmus test for him especially is, like, is he going to be able to stick to his role perfectly like we're seeing now in the postseason under the bright lights? And that will ultimately tell the tale if this is, like, okay, this is a long-term fit now, or, like you said, this is maybe he's the next piece to kind of make the perfect fit moving forward.
And so, B-Rob, too, just on Ime Udoka, how much do you think that, you know, his fingerprints are on this turnaround? Is he just a bystander, or has he really been a factor?
I think you got to give him credit because you look at what he's done with Rob Williams defensively, kind of moving him off the ball and things like that. The switching scheme, he's kind of mixed it up a little bit there too. And then his rotations, like he went to 8 guys and that wasn't an obvious or an easy decision, but it's worked and he's stuck with it. And between that and the fact that he's starting to get through to these guys, I don't think it's coincidence that like Tatum is buying with more passing and Smart is, you know, playing his role. Like you guys alluded to, like, how much you want to divvy up the credit there, it's up to for debate, but you have to give Ime some credit for that as it keeps rolling like this.
Yeah, and the second half turnarounds too, and just like how well they played in this second half and this win over Memphis the other night too. So it's like they're almost, to me, like just in comparing them to the first couple of months, like the bizarro Celtics. You can almost count on them. Well, you know, you got like you could count on them sucking in the third quarter. Now you might have a slow start, but they'll be so much better in the second half. And I think that's a lot of credit to the coach.
And it's a great point, Jim, because you look at that Memphis game, Grant Williams started at small forward in the second half, and they took off. They went on like a 24-10 run. That's an unorthodox run. That wasn't an obvious choice. The obvious choice would be Derek Wade. He went with Grant Williams, and they ran off it. And so, yeah, credit to Ime there.
Yeah, Grant Williams has been great. I mean, he's sort of become a 3-and-D power forward. He can play, you know, some small forward. He's become a really valuable 3-and-D player for them, and I can see why they like him quite a bit.
Luke in Vermont. Go ahead and yell Luke. At Gasper.
Yes, I know. Luke's been chirping at me on Twitter, too. Luke, yeah. What's up?
So I guess we actually agree on more than you'd probably think. But
okay.
A month ago, it seemed like Smart was a hindrance. Like, yeah. I agree. If he's their third best player, they're probably not going to win a championship. But over the last month, it seems like he's been willing to take a step back. And I guess where I differ is, could he be a piece on this team in – they're clearly getting better as a team. Maybe he is not preventing Tatum and Brown from ascending, and maybe he isn't the problem. I agreed with you at the time. Earlier in the year, it's like something's got to give. It should probably be Smart. I think in order for them to be a championship team, I think the piece that really makes sense is Beal. And if you had to send Smart out, I would do it. But if you could... it's not going to be talent for talent. He's a free agent. Like when Durant went to Brooklyn, they sent out D'Angelo Russell. That was just a money match. If Boston can do something like that with Beal and say it was White instead of Smart, do you want Smart gone at all costs?
No.
Or do you just want him down the pecking order? Like if Beal came in and it was Tatum 1, Brown 2, Beal 3, Robert Williams 4, and Smart 5 on the pecking order, and he accepted that role as a defensive guy, a distributor, and not take 12 threes a game in the postseason. Would you be okay with Smart being on this
yes.
team, or do you feel okay? So it's not like, because a month ago I wasn't. I agreed with you. I felt like he has to go for Tatum and Brown to ascend, but things have Felger's been on this for a while. He thinks they just needed time to mature, and it kind of seems like that's the case. And I think this group goes as Tatum goes, and he keeps taking his game to another level. Like Grant Williams is a perfect example. He all of a sudden looks like PJ Tucker.
He does.
And that has a lot to do with Tatum. Robert Williams looks like a guy who could be, you know, a top 5-7 center in the league. That has a lot to do with Tatum finding him at the right times, giving them the ball where he can be successful. And I think the whole pecking order thing falls in line with Tatum. And I do think with this group, they have a chance to be competitive with anybody in the East in any series. In order for them to be the favorite against anybody in the East, you probably need a Beal. But I would not be shocked if they came out of the East or got to the Eastern Conference Finals. But to that point, I wouldn't be shocked if Milwaukee beat them in the first round either.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, Luke. So the one thing I'll say, yeah, I'm not like get Smart off the team at any cost. The way the scenario he described, I'll accept that. But there was a caveat he put in there, and it's a big one. If Smart is willing to accept his role. And yeah. I'm not 100% convinced of that. I think Derek White's better suited to that because I think when you look at Smart, you got to remember, Luke, like he was the number 6 pick in the draft. He always tells you he's the longest tenured Celtic. He did that podcast with J.J. Redick. They talked about his shooting, and he said, let's not forget, I hold the team record for threes in a game. He said that they would have beaten the Golden State Warriors, you know, if they had won. Like,
oh, I think they all believe
like,
this.
Honestly, man, like, and I know people are going to get mad at this, but I'm just going to say it. There's a little, like, Donald Trump and Marcus Smart, where he invents like his own reality of like he's on a different plane than he is in like real life.
I get it. And one of the reasons I like Derek White so much on this group from day one when he came in, because I was like, there is no entitlement with him. He's not a high pick.
Yes.
This guy doesn't have a clothing line, a reality TV show. Like, this guy just wants to play basketball. He keeps it simple. One thing that still drives me crazy with Smart is like his need to make crazy flashy plays on offense. Like, that's not who you are, man. Just take care of the ball. You don't need to be flashy. You don't need to be fancy. You don't need to be Steve Nash. You're a bulldog. You're strong. Like, play to your role. I get the frustration with Smart, but I feel like you're unwilling to give them credit for the progress unless there's a championship. Like, can't we say that there's been growth and this team is going in the right direction?
And I agree.
Things to be excited about. Are they the favorite? No. There's no doubt they're a piece away from being a team that you would say they are the favorite. But from where we were 2 months ago, there's at least things to be excited about.
But 2 months ago, Luke, but 2 months ago, Luke was backsliding from where you were in, you know, from 2 years. So that's my point. Like, it is progress, but where are we going to measure from? Are we going to measure from, you know, making it to the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami and feeling like, okay, the next step is getting out of the East? Or are we going to measure it from basically a season and a half of being 500? Because I think if you're doing the latter, now you're grading progress on a curve. You know, like, it's encouraging and it's great, but now we're grading it on a curve and making it seem bigger than it is when it's like, oh, okay, you basically just got your head out of your ass and got back to where you should have been.
I let him go. We gave him like over 4 minutes.
No, and I know.
We make special accommodations for Luke.
No, Luke's good.
Yeah. A couple open lines you want to join us. We'll get to more of your Celtics calls coming up next here. We have a shortened show today, though. We're only on till 1:30, so you want to join us, talk C's. Now's the time to do it. It's 617-779-0985. Your call's next.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub Celtics Show drives the lane.
Oh. Scored and the foul.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show and Boston's home for the Celtics. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How would you define what has clicked specifically on the court for you guys, and what it means to play your best basketball?
I think, you know, watching us now, we play with a lot more passion, and we just seem like we're having a lot more fun. Obviously, when you're winning, you tend to, you know, play with, you know, a little more enthused and smile and laugh and things like that. It wasn't happening too often beginning of the season. So, you know, defense and, you know, everybody being locked in, just having fun. You know, this is basketball at the end of the day, and it's supposed to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we've been having a lot of fun lately.
The red hot Jason Tatum, who I think won the duel. Yeah, he did win the duel. But John Morant Thursday night in the win over the Grizzlies. Team's having fun right now. Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, Brian Robb, and you at 617-779-0985. I've been enjoying it, enjoying the ride. It's nice to see Tatum. You know, we've seen it before. Just want to see more consistency there. It really looks like he is a top 5 player in the league. Don't have any complaints. Except one. Said it yesterday. I've said it before on these this very show, and I'll say it again. Put the kid to bed. Put the kid to bed. I see you all up in my feed, too, on Twitter, too. You really mean this? Must be a slow week. No, I've been consistent with this for a while. And you shouldn't be telling a guy who has kids, as someone who doesn't have kids, how to actually be a parent.
That's a good point.
I know. That's something that gets people's back up. And I, for 99.9%, I understand. That's why I don't tell people how to take care of their kids. But put them to bed. Like, it's not to be celebrated. It's not cute. It's not adorbs. You know, even the... The official Instagram account, Chris sends me the DM yesterday. Can you believe this? Like, the Celtics account, when dad throws it down, but it's after bedtime. Ha ha, laughing emoji, snoozing emoji. And there's little Deuce, passed out like a rag doll on the baseline, like he is every night, every home game. He's 4. I thought he was 2. 4.
He's 4. He is a cute kid, though.
Adorable. Put him to bed.
He loves his dad. You can tell how much he looks up to his. It's pretty cool. They have a great relationship.
Yeah, they do. Put him to bed.
You're really adamant about this,
Chris.
Huh?
You see, like, this is.
I will say that picture they tweeted, I was like, why would you tweet this out?
It's not.
This poor kid, like, that's not a good sleeping position. His neck looks like it's in the wrong spot. It looks so uncomfortable.
It's like 10 past 10 on a Thursday night. It's a 4-year-old. Put him in the locker room. have it, like, then shake him up. You want to bring him out a few minutes before the end of the game? Like, let's celebrate with Dad while he's holding up the right hand, the right hand that should be covered in gold. Like, look at my finish. Yeah, everyone's up. Okay. Let him go nap in the back. 20,000-plus screaming fans. Big night. Four-year-old should be in bed around 8. I'm not having kids. Jasmine and I aren't having kids, but we've noticed it before. It's something. It's a me thing. I admit.
I feel like it bothers you. It's not bothers you from a standpoint of you're criticizing Tatum. Like, you feel the need to criticize him, but I feel like it makes you uncomfortable. Like, you're uncomfortable seeing it and uncomfortable being at the game when it's happening.
That's what it is. It's not a. I'm not trying to critique the parenting skills of Jason Tatum. Again, they have you can just see just on the surface an amazing relationship. It's a me thing. It makes me uncomfortable. Just like, you know. So you woke this in my brain. Remember I said at the time when Taco Fall was here.
Yeah,
and how I would get uncomfortable, like, what do you, like, it felt like, do you want, it felt like, well, let's see the freak.
Yeah,
like,
that's, yeah.
There was that thing with Taco Fall that it was like, what are you people doing? Like, why are you so jacked up for Taco Fall? Is it like, and I felt like that, and again, maybe it's a me thing, and I'm overthinking this. With Deuce Tatum, anytime I've gone to these games, I immediately look at that bench, and I tap my wife. Look, kid's asleep. It's 8 o'clock. Put him in the back. Put him to bed. That's all. I await your angry emails and tweets. You really care about this much? It's a me thing. I admit it's a me problem. Maybe I should go back into therapy and talk about this. Like the sleepy 4-year-old at the Celtics game that is the son of the star player. Why does it bother me so much, Shrink? You tell me. Okay, Kevin in the car on Tatum. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, gentlemen. Just wanted to just run something by you. I know you guys are paid to be observant. But on the Tatum interview at halftime, you could tell that he was annoyed. This is the last game, having to do that interview because he played so underwhelming, I would say, at that first half of the last game. And that's a sign of maturity, that he basically is getting real serious about his game. I know he's a kid has a kid at 24. Oh, my God. I can't imagine if I was 24.
Oh, my God. I know. Me too. Holy crap.
Kevin, I can't imagine if you're 44. No, I'm with you on that. No, I think that there has been a maturity upgrade for Jason Tatum this season, at least over the last, this stretch, this last month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, look, his personality is his personality. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be...
He's not, like, super... Well, so...
He's never going to be, like, the Michael Jordan, Kobe, like, in-your-face leader, you know? That's just not the way he is.
Yeah, and there's a certain level of aggressiveness, and I mean this in an extremely positive way, about, like, Ja Morant and, like, this enthusiasm that exudes from Ja Morant that just... They're just different personalities.
Different
they're
personality.
Just different,
he's a different personality.
He's a very soft-spoken. There's not a lot of...
But you know what I did like? You know, I did like, and I'm trying to remember, was
it- I loved the finish. Like, it's things like that. Like, you know, he gets into the theatrics, and
he does.
I like that.
And he rises to the occasion. He rises to the challenge. I like that. But remember, just a couple of things. You know, Ime had to tell him this year, like, hey, don't be out here for these guys' approval. They're not your big brothers.
Yeah. So we've seen that in the past. A lot of, like, shaking hands and grab ass. And I know they share the agents when a lot of these dudes hang. But, like, most people, especially, like, old grumps like me, like, don't carouse with the enemy. What are you doing?
And the thing I did like was when he went on J.J. Redick's, Old Man in the Three podcast and, said in the nicest way possible. But if you read, basically what he said, I mean, he confronted Marcus Smart about those comments earlier in the year about not passing.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's a sign of growth. That's a sign of leadership. You're not walking away from a confrontation. You're not just shrugging it off. You're basically, as one of the leaders of the team, you're confronting him and saying, hey, what did you mean by this? Like, hey, what's up with this? To me, that sort of establishes you're a leader, and it shows that you're holding your teammates and you're holding Smart accountable. To me, that's a big one, and I think it's a big one that he felt comfortable enough to say that publicly, put it out there publicly that he did that. So I think that's a big sign of growth and maturity and leadership.
Chris in Chelmsford on the Celtics. You're next here on 98.5 of Sports. Hey, Chris.
Hello, sir. I heard you say 30 minutes ago that you're looking for to rise more shooters. And last month they just had a trade. If the Celtics got someone last month, is he a shooter?
Who?
So about 30 minutes ago, you said the Celtics need more shooting.
Yes, they do need more shooting, yes.
So what I'm getting at is the trade that they got last month in February, is this person a shooter?
Derek White.
Is Derek White? Yeah, I mean, Derek White's a better shooter, I think, than like Marcus Smart at that position. But I mean, I understand what you're saying. He's not like sort of like a Joe Harris. I think they still could use some more floor spacing and shooting. I think he's a better option, certainly over, Dennis Schroeder and over Smart and doing some of that shooting. But he's not sort of one of these pure, shooting guys. I mean, look, the shooting looks pretty good now. I mean, Horford makes shots. Grant Williams has been great all year. When guys make shots and Smart makes shots, it looks good. But I just think you can see like what they're trying to bring in, Hauser, Stauskas, they know they need more shooting. That's one thing, particularly in a 7-game playoff series, you look at it and you say, and they've had this issue in the past. You go back to, game 7 against LeBron in the building where you're 7 of 39 from three. They've had that issue in the past in clutch games, a big playoff series, that when you don't have guys who are really sort of consistent, pure shooters around your stars, it can be an issue.
Yeah, I know Derek White got hurt in the Memphis game, but it was the game prior against Atlanta, not my Hawks, Chris, where I thought that was the first one that I've seen since he's joined this team. I was like, okay, I get it.
But no, he's good. I like him.
Yeah, but it's a different dynamic with him, kind of pushes the pace differently, attacks the paint, finishes with the soft floaters and the layups. That was the first game I was like, okay, I get why a lot of people are pants off for Derek White.
And guess what he's shooting so far for the Celtics?
What is he shooting?
Only 26% from three.
Huh.
So you're right. So that's, and to your point, Jim, that's why, he's taking a lot of shots. He hasn't hit much yet, but he's still been a positive influence. So if that starts to turn around, then that'll be obviously very good news.
All right. We only have 30 minutes to go as the Rebs get their first home match of the season coming up here against FC Dallas. So,
season of redemption.
Whatever you want.
Why are you laughing?
Because they'll get to the playoffs and blow it again.
This is the season. It's all about redemption. They're on a mission this year to lift that MLS Cup. Get on board now, people. This is like the 2004 Red Sox.
I'm sure. Yeah. And didn't they lose their stud goalie, or they're going to this summer anyway?
Matt Turner? Well, he's on. Is he still with? I don't know.
He will be until the summer.
Yeah, until the summer. He has to go to Arsenal, right?
Yeah. They'll find a way to screw it up. Hmm. Okay, we'll get to the headlines in the final 30 minutes of Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.